Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Making Milestones podcast. I'm recording this next podcast just a week after publishing my last one. So shout out to me. Give me a round of applause because I am almost a real podcaster who has an actual schedule and posts weekly instead of just whenever the heck they want to. So I think that I deserve a gold medal for this. Just saying. No, I'm actually just kidding because no guarantees that this is going to continue this way because there's a very good chance that it will not. So anyway, I kind of just record podcasts when I am hit with inspo or a desire to talk about things, because largely these podcasts are just a stream of consciousness, drivel of me saying whatever I want. I don't script them. I just say what I'm thinking in the moment. So I would like to think they are very authentic. However, sometimes maybe I do say some pretty dumb shit if I am not scripting them. We'll leave that up to you to decide. So today's podcast is kind of like a step forward off of the last one I did about like the grief and like ego death associated with like reevaluating your priorities in the horse world and the way in which you go about things. It's kind of a step forward off of that because it's just like the next step, and it's going to be like a lot different than any other podcast I've done, to be honest. So this might not be everyone's cup of tea to listen to, but if you don't want to listen to it, the good news is you don't have to. I'm not holding a gun to your head, so you can just turn it off. Anywho, before we get into it, I just need to do a quick little plug for my business and say that if you're interested in getting more training advice, tutorials, etc., I have a Patreon that has access to all sorts of those things, and you can access that at the link in the description of this podcast or at patreon.com/sdequs. I also do webinars, and I sell the webinar recordings on my main website, which is milestoneequestrian.ca, which will also be linked below. And there's webinars on a variety of different topics that you can check out. And then I also have an online store where I sell horse bridles and equestrian apparel. I'm having some huge sales on my 2023 apparel to clear it all out so that I can make more space for products that are coming in. So there's some really, really good deals. Please check those out. Help me clear out my storage area because it is hectic. It looks like a bomb went off in there. It is like a classic ADHD room, if you know what I mean. Anyways, you can check that out at Shop Milestone Eq. That's shopmilestoneeq.com. And that will also be in the link of this podcast, in the description, I should say, the link will be. So thank you for your support. It's always very appreciated. It helps me continue doing what I'm doing. And it will hopefully eventually lead to me building the farm of my dreams because of all your guys' support. So I much, much, much appreciate it. So anyways, today's podcast is going to be like, it's going to sound fluffy and flowery in the title, but hopefully people will give her a listen and kind of just start to see where I'm coming from with it. I wanted to talk about what I would like consider a spiritual awakening, in the sense that when you have that ego death, when you start to change the way that you're going about things in the horse world and just have like a complete pivot on your life path, in my eyes, it is a spiritual awakening because you see so many other things differently. Like, you can't really start giving horses more compassion and reevaluating the way you approach horse training without reevaluating the ways that you approach yourself and how hard you are on yourself and just the ways in which that you perceive your own mistakes and the ways that you go about things and all that jazz. So I find that all this stuff is really connected. The more you start to delve into behavioral science pertaining to horses, the harder it becomes to ignore how relevant the application of that is to humans as well. And it starts to alter and shift the way that you view everything. It just kind of makes you hopefully solidify your life path. So what I wanted to talk about is that, like, for years, I really did not know who I was as a person. I was operating through my life, going through the motions of what I thought other people wanted me to be. But the important thing to note is that I wasn't aware that that's why I was doing it. I thought that I was doing what I actually wanted, and that I just didn't really understand why I was so frustrated and like unfulfilled and just generally unhappy. But this was going on for years and years and years. A lot of my likes and dislikes, a lot of my preferences, a lot of the things that I did, even like how I dressed and everything, like it was so heavily influenced by what I thought other people would like and what I thought other people wanted and what I thought like other people that I admired were doing. And it wasn't really influenced by like what I really, really, truly wanted to do for myself. It wasn't decisions that I was making for the benefit of myself. It was so heavily rooted in trying to seek the approval of others and trying to follow what I viewed to be like popular mindsets or styles, etc. And I was robbing myself of my own authenticity and individuality in the process, all without realizing it. And it stems so deeply from like a deep insecurity that I couldn't erase and that I didn't even realize how pervasive it was in my life. And it was impacting everything from my day-to-day life outside of horses to also what I did in horses. So like my showing and everything that I was doing with my horses and trying to basically create value for myself in the horse world, it was all through the lens of what I thought made me valuable to other people rather than what made me feel valuable to myself. And that was from everything in and out of the horse world. And it colored virtually every single decision I ever made about myself, even when there was no one else around, because there'd be this sense of shame of doing certain things that I thought people wouldn't like or that wouldn't make me popular amongst other people or that were viewed as like uncool or cringy or whatever. So it was like this brain cloud that followed me around that was robbing me of my own individuality because I was just so scared of the way that I'd be perceived by other people. And it wasn't very fun. Like, I'm going to be completely honest, it wasn't, straight up was not having a good time. So the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because being able to kind of step into embracing the cringe and just doing what I want, regardless of whether or not people like me less because of it, has been very freeing. And it has allowed me to make better decisions for myself without the fear of how it will cause other people to perceive me. And that has been so, so special and important. And it's also just led to me being a happier person. So the more I've embraced that cringe and have just done things that feel right for me and have just done things because I want to do them, the better my life has gotten and the more synchronicities I notice in life and the more I notice my life path just evening out and seeing a more clear path to my future, I've really started to get a firm handle on what it is I actually want in life, like what it is that I truly want on a soul level rather than what I wanted based off of the societal influences around me. And it has afforded me a level of freedom and certainty and just self-expression and happiness that I have not had ever before this. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this was to hopefully give other people more confidence in doing the same for themselves. Because once you start doing it, you realize that if the worst thing you can be is like cringy to other people, that's pretty good. Because I've started to kind of look at things through the lens of, I think it's a lot cringier to be the type of person walking around judging people for doing completely harmless things that just make them happy, just because you don't like them. Like that is far more cringy than it is to look funny or weird or mildly embarrassing in the public eye while enjoying yourself in a perfectly harmless way. Because if you're looking around at people, judging them for enjoying themselves when they're not hurting anyone, and you're just like putting that negative energy out into the world, that is pretty cringy. And it is harmful to both yourself and the people around you if you choose to voice those public judgments about things, because they're judgments about completely harmless things. You're not judging people for being toxic. You're not judging people for causing harm to animals or humans around them. You're judging them for the stuff that they wear, for saying things that are quirky and embarrassing to you, and for all in all, just enjoying their life in a way that's harming absolutely no one. And what I've noticed about myself is when I was doing that type of thing the most, where I was judging other people for being what I perceived as embarrassing or cringy, it was a projection of like my own internal insecurities and my own lack of desire to express myself in an authentic way. And I think there's a certain amount of jealousy or envy towards the people who could do those things, and watching them do it made me uncomfortable. And to be fair, this is something that I'm still working through, because like I do catch myself sometimes starting to do this, or I'll feel like uncomfortable in certain situations. But I'm starting to learn more and more that like it's coming from a place where I have been judged for being myself and been judged for doing things that are authentic to me. And I've had those things shut down by people who were the type of person to be harshly judging people or calling them cringy or making fun of them for doing harmless things that just made them happy, which is honestly such a shitty thing to do. It is one of the shittiest things you can do. It's effectively clipping the wings of someone who has found their freedom. And why do we want to do that, right? Like, why do we want to make people feel crappy for doing things that at their core just make them feel happy? That rhymed. That was pretty cool. So I started to try to sway away from doing that. And I've also started to try to care less about whether or not people think I'm cringy. Because online, people call me cringy all the time. And they're like, oh, this is so cringe. And it's like, you literally took the time out of your day just to like post a negative comment for no reason when you could have just thought that in your head and moved on with your life. But no, you had to make sure that I was aware of your public disapproval of something that at its core is completely harmless. So what does that say about you, right? Like, and I think that's also why I'm so good at triggering people online with my posts that at their core are written about generalized thoughts and events usually. I trigger people because I call out things that I used to do that they are still doing, and it makes them viscerally uncomfortable because they feel seen in a way that they did not want to be, and then they're forced to kind of be exposed to and come to terms with things that they would have rather have not had to, that they would have rather ignored and swept under the rug. And then people such as myself who have been where they are and intimately understand it and talk about that make them feel very uncomfortable because then they're put in a situation where they either need to shove down the feelings that brings out in them, or they are forced to address it, which is very uncomfortable. And that's the thing. The process of having what these spiritual awakenings and whatnot and changing who you are and changing the course of your life is not a comfortable one because it directly requests you to move away from that relative comfort zone that you created and then venture out into the unknown, which is never going to be comfortable or easy because you're going to have to let go of certain patterns and habits that you've grown very accustomed to, and it's not going to be comfortable or easy. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult. So it's not the easiest thing to do at all, and it's not comfortable. So this is going to kind of go into something where people might not love what I'm saying, because I wanted to talk about some specific stories and what kind of has helped me have these epiphanies in life. But honestly, a huge portion of it was getting into the horse behavioral science realm and really just getting a deeper understanding of animal behavioral science, because it is so heavily linked to human behavioral science and human psychology that it's really hard to ignore that crossover. And then what that led me to do is to read and listen to a lot of audiobooks on human psychology and more fringe belief systems. And I'm using fringe kind of vaguely because fringe doesn't mean that they have no scientific backing. It's more so that they're not like broadly accepted or shared in the traditional human science realm. They're kind of withheld, even though they do have merit. So for anyone who's interested in books, to read a couple of those books would be The Myth of Normal by Gabor Maté. And then I'm reading one right now called Becoming Supernatural. I forget the name of the author. I'm going to look it up right now. Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And then also another one was The Gift of Fear. Can't remember the name of that author, but if you look it up, it'll come up. Written by like another psychology professional. And really, really interesting. It talks about intuition and just like the mind-body connection and how you have the capacity to actually heal your body from within by changing your type, your perspective. There's another one that I have downloaded that I haven't listened to yet that is called You Are the Placebo. And I think it's along the same lines where it's essentially saying that like the placebo effect is the result of believing so heavily that we can do something that it actually happens. So all those things are really interesting, and they've changed my perspective of what we know of the world as we know it, because I do think there's a lot of spirituality that has gotten lost and a lot of more holistic methods helping heal mental health issues and even physical health issues that have gotten lost because we have extinguished so many of the mindsets that kind of leaned in that direction. I do also have the perspective that because of the colonial mindset, we have quite literally murdered and genocided entire populations of people who would have been able to share these perspectives on a far broader basis. And we've effectively erased a lot of the history behind that that would have otherwise been able to be shared. And it still is. It hasn't erased it in entirety, but because of the damage we've done, it's never going to be the same as it would have been if we hadn't done that. And I do think that kind of changed the entire path that we take from a physical and mental standpoint for human health, where we kind of are pushing a lot of, like, the most profitable means of achieving health rather than encouraging people to learn about ways that they can help heal themselves from within. And again, I'm not throwing out the medical sector and how modern day medicine is great and has done a lot of amazing things and how beneficial it can be. But I do firmly believe that there is incentive to make people completely and utterly dependent on that and to kind of throw shame and doubt towards methods that at their core are about, like, spiritual awakening and spiritual healing from within and learning more about the mind-body connection. Because if people actually fully subscribe to that and really learn how to master it, it would make a decent number of what is currently profitable in big pharma obsolete. So I do think that there's incentive to essentially withhold certain types of information to an extent because there is this profit. And also the other thing to consider is that because we live in a colonial capitalistic world right now, if we taught people those things and if we taught them to become more interconnected with each other and with themselves and with nature, they would start to really kind of hone in on the fact that, like, what we're doing, working our lives away just to, like, work for the man and make money and just get the bare minimum basic necessities, they'd really start to level with how stupid and unfair that is and how much it sucks and how we're throwing out so much of the pleasures that we could be having in life and so much of the true meaning of life to do things that largely make no sense and are only benefiting a very tiny percentage of incredibly wealthy people that are hoarding resources and being exceptionally greedy, and that we are all suffering for their benefit. But even with that, those people who are the billionaires of the world who are hoarding all these resources, they are like a black hole. Like, they have their soul is a black hole, which is why they need to hoard the amount of money that they have, and nothing satiates them. They're hungry for more and more and more, no matter how many people they have to starve, both literally and emotionally and spiritually, to get what they are seeking. But it is still never enough, which is why no matter how much more rich they get, they still want more. Nothing satiates them. Nothing is enough. And it's because they are losing parts of themselves and they're seeking to fill those missing parts of themselves using things that will never do the job, because what they are missing is connection and understanding with themselves, with the people around them, and with the environment. And they've been trying to make up for that with money and resources and things and materialism, and it's not enough. So they will never be pleased. There is no end to their desire to continue to hoard wealth and resources because they are seeking to fill something that they absolutely cannot with the types of things that they're trying to fill it with. So with my spiritual awakening thing, I want to talk about that because I think colonialism and capitalism is a large part of why people are so lost right now. And a large part of why people are so unhappy right now, because one, so many people are hardly making ends meet. We're living paycheck to paycheck. Cost of living has gone up exponentially. And people in my generation and ones just before it, and also ones just after it, we're living in an environment now where we are working harder and more hours than other generations before us with less in return. We aren't getting the same type of pay. We can't buy houses. We can't afford food as easily, but we're working harder than ever before. The cost of living has absolutely exploded, but incomes have not gone up. And the people at the top of the pyramid, the fucking billionaires, profiting more than ever at the expense of everyone else, and they're still not happy. They're still not satiated. And, like, people can be like, how do you know they're not happy? I know they're fucking not happy, because if you have to have that much money at the detriment of so many millions and billions of people around you, and you are still hoarding more and more and more, knowing that you are literally causing people to starve and die and be homeless, like, you're not a happy person, full stop. And people can argue with me about that until they're blue in the face, but no, you're not a happy person if you're like that. There's something fucking wrong with you. And just to be blunt, if we were studying any other animal species, and there were a very small handful of that species who were just sitting around hoarding more resources than they could ever use or need in their lifetime. And they hoarded it while they were watching their own species starve and die around them, and watching the mental health of all of the other species and the physical health just degrade as they sat on what is essentially this fucking dragon stash of goods that they don't need. We would study them and go, what the fuck is wrong with this species? We would study them and go, why are they doing this? This seems extremely mentally ill and fucked up. And yet, when we have humans doing that, there's 1,001 excuses for why it's happening, because the people running the media and effectively running the show for so much of the stuff that would expose these types of behaviors for what they are the people who are literally doing these terrible things. And even when studies do come out about why these things are problematic and like why billionaires have a far lower degree of empathy and they have a lot of narcissistic and sociopathic traits, because there are studies about that, it gets suppressed to a large extent. They suppress the information that would make them look bad, and they inflate the information that causes people to defend them. Like, the amount of poor people that are willing to defend billionaires, fucking insane. Because even a millionaire, closer to being homeless than they are to being a billionaire. You will never become a billionaire. Like, anyone listening to this that's like, oh, like, billionaires earn their money and they're doing it because you think you might become one, you're never going to fucking be a billionaire. Like, get real. Honestly, you're never going to be one. And if you were one, you'd become a shitty person just like them, full stop. And I'm sorry for people who have like billionaires that they're kind of like cheerleading and fans of, like Taylor Swift or whatever. But like, I like her music. Still a fucking billionaire. Still hoarding resources while other people suffer. She knows how much power she has. She knows how if she made one post about a significant social issue that it could make a huge difference and that it could cause waves of activism that would lead to real change. But she's not going to do it because it would take away some of the benefit that she's receiving from society. Still love her music. Still think that she sometimes has good stuff to say, but I think that she lacks intersectionality in her feminism and other stuff. And I think that she chooses the safe issues to talk about and to push on her platforms so that she can just look just woke enough where people are like, wow, what a good person. But she's never crossing the line where she's going to effectively alienate the other people in the rich people club that she's a part of to the point where they want to ruin her or kick her out of it, which is why she avoids certain types of issues. Like, you'll notice that she very infrequently talks about racialized issues at all. She's in fact had a lot of fights with like Black creators and Black women, and has a very white feminist approach. And I know I have a lot of Taylor Swift fans who listen to my stuff. So what I want to clarify is you can still like her music, but like this entire notion that in order to like someone's talent as a creator or musician or whatever, that you have to support everything they do and not be critical of aspects of their humanity is stupid. You shouldn't need to just drink the Kool-Aid to the point where if it's like you like someone's music and you like what they put out, that you're not looking at other aspects of who they are as a person with a critical lens and recognizing the fact that when people do get that rich, that they're not like you or I. They are a corporate pawn to an extent. And we are all, well, we are their pawns as well. They know how to manipulate the market to their advantage. And no matter how much they try to come across as being just like us, they aren't. They're doing it because it's profitable and it makes us feel seen and heard, and it makes us idolize them and put them on a pedestal that makes them more money. And she's not the only one like that. And I know that. And again, I still like her music. I've been a fan of Taylor Swift for a long time, but there's just no way around the fact that like people like that are not like the everyday person, and that they are profiting to the tune of millions and billions of dollars at the expense of the many. And there's no way around that. So it's just something that we have to get more honest with ourselves about. And in my spiritual awakening, I have gotten far more critical of people that I would have blindly defended in the past, because I recognize that they aren't like me and they never will be. And I never will be like them, that we are fundamentally different. And when they pretend that they are at my level or that they understand the struggles of people like myself or people who are having an even harder time, they're doing it to pander to that population of people for their own benefit rather than what's actually right. And like, again, like there's people like that who make lots of money and then look at their employees' big bonuses and stuff. But the other thing to note with stuff like that is like, yeah, they're doing charitable donations and big bonuses, but go look up what percentage of their income that is, like genuinely, because it's the equivalent to me putting a toonie in like a donation jar at like grocery store or whatever, or donating like $5 to a charity. It's not very much. It sounds like a lot to the everyday person because it'll be to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions, etc. But relative to their income, it's not very much. So I don't really understand why we get so impressed by that stuff. But it's like we are literally doing that ourselves, largely, when you factor in our income. It just doesn't sound as impressive to be like, hey, I donated $5 this week, when you're not making as much money as they are. The volume of money they donate sounds effectively more impressive because they're making that much more than all of us. And the human brain has a very hard time comprehending how much more than $1 million, $1 billion is. But this has gone on to like an anti-capitalist tangent again. So I'm going to get back on course and just talk more about this, because this is all just very important. The reason why I'm bringing up capitalism and the hoarding of wealth and stuff is because those people are lacking their own spirituality. And by spirituality, I'm not really referencing like religion and like organized religion or organized mindsets like that. I'm talking about like the interconnectivity of the world, being able to connect with other people, being able to connect with nature, being aware of what's going on around you, being empathetic to people who are struggling around you, being aware of where there are problems in society that need addressed, and being aware of the extent of sadness and hardship that we are currently enabling in the world and actively contributing to. And by we, I mean the universal we. Like, a lot of us are just along for the ride because, again, we're not fucking billionaires and we're not pulling the puppet strings of society. So we're just along for the ride. But our world is enabling all of these terrible things. And I think it's because people are devoid of a certain level of spirituality and interconnectivity and awareness with the environment. And they have lost parts of themselves in the process. And they've been trying to fill those parts of themselves with material goods and money. And it's never going to happen because it's not actually addressing what is causing that void inside of them. So I used to value materialistic things more, and that's how I went about trying to create perceived value for myself. And that's also why I was doing things that I thought would make me popular amongst other people, and why aspects of who I was as a person were heavily influenced by what was currently popular fashion-wise or socially, what the popular music was, what the current trends were, what other people seemed to like. And it was a very like capitalistic mindset that was driving who I was as a person. And I was trying to appease what those societal pressures were telling me to do by altering parts of myself. And now that I've stopped doing that, I've become a lot more hypercritical of the way that we run society and the way that we function, because a lot of it is about attacking the layperson and protecting the people who are actually causing the most unrest and problems in the world. A lot of people will target the everyday individual and be like, oh, well, like, what are you doing to stop climate change? You use plastic garbage bags. But then they fail to look at the billion-dollar corporations who are funding the creation of those plastic garbage bags and creating the most problems that are impacting our climate. Like 70% of the emissions that we're struggling with that are destroying the world right now are created by billion-dollar corporations, and it's like a select few corporations, right? Like, it's not the everyday person. So even if every single person on this planet who is not a billionaire did their part, it still wouldn't be enough. But we've been trained to point fingers at each other and do a lot of infighting because it protects the people who are actually causing the problems. It protects those very people from actually being criticized to the point that they should be if we're all fighting amongst each other. So it's beneficial to them, and they're going to encourage it with their media and with these incentives that they create, such as the carbon footprint, which was created by oil and gas companies to basically put blame on the everyday person and take it off of themselves, so that everyone would start pointing fingers at each other and be like, what's your carbon footprint? Are you doing your part? Instead of being like, these fucking gas companies are fucking up everyone's day, getting away with it. They're getting away with literal murder. And it is tactical, it is decisive, and it is intentional. So that's an important aspect of what I'm going to go into in a second, because it is that there's this framework in society that's created to effectively brainwash all of us and manipulate all of us into being consumer-minded people Like, for example, a lot of these billion-dollar corporations quite literally hire the best of the best of neuroscientists and people who are behavioral psychologists to help them create ads and marketing campaigns that are most likely to create diehard brand supporters and get us to buy in on whatever it is that they want us to. They hire the best of the best in the field to manipulate and brainwash us. And that's something that, upon learning that, it made me a lot more critical of what was going on, because we all fall for it. Like, that's the thing, is we all fall for it to a degree, because that is literally what it is made to do. And the less aware you are of like how deep it goes in terms of the type of manipulation and brainwashing and brand campaigning that is going on, the harder it is to become aware of it. But when you do learn more about it, you're like, holy shit. And then you learn to look at things through a more critical lens. And like, similarly ish to that is, for me, once I got my ADHD diagnosis and I fundamentally started to learn about why my brain works differently, it became a lot easier to understand aspects of myself that I previously shut down, ignored, and was ashamed of. And then that really started to change who I was as a person. So the amount of change that I've gone through over the last like 5 or 6 years has been substantial compared to years prior. And I do think part of that is also age related, because through your early 20s to late 20s, there's a lot of changes that are happening. And even anyone who's listening to this now, that is like 21 to like 25 and is like, yeah, right, like that, I'm not going to change very much. I had the same fucking attitude. Now I'm like, oh my God, like 21-year-old me would be like, ah, what the heck? What a hippie dippy, like socialist communist bitch. And now I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. Keep complimenting me, man. And yeah, lots of changes that I've had happen are things that I definitely thought in my head that I would never have happened to me. And like, I didn't think I would deep dive this hard into positive reinforcement and clicker training with horses, but then it happened. And I just started to have all these fundamental changes that the more I learned parts about myself, the more I unfolded into the direction that I was supposed to go in. And that's like the start of my spiritual awakening, was learning more about myself and then being able to be more authentic towards myself as a result, and then starting to practice doing so shame-free, and also get more confident in maintaining those aspects of myself and what felt right for me, even in the absence of support of others. And that is the scariest part of the spiritual awakening journey, is committing to who you are and what you believe in and what feels right for you, even if it loses you friends. Even if people shit talk you online, even if people bully you in the comment section, even if you get yelled at by people, even if you're put in situations where you're just getting absolutely torn apart by people, even in a public crowd, you know, like putting yourself in a situation where you maintain your authenticity, even when it is not comfortable to do so. And that is the hardest part of all of this. And that is where a lot of people give up and then go back to what feels comfortable in the moment, which is just kind of appeasing people around you and being who you think they want you to be and kind of silencing yourself. And in the moment, it can feel more comfortable because you're not having to deal with like as much outright criticism and discontent. But internally, over time, you are selling out on who you are as a person, and it'll make you feel worse, at least in my experience. Because there's been a bunch of times now where I've held my ground. And honestly, my voice has been shaking. Internally, I've been freaking out. I've been having a lot of anxiety, but I do it anyways. And in the moment, it feels like absolute shit and I'm scared. But then afterward, it gives me strength that allows me to keep trucking along and maintaining that integrity in future moments and knowing that I have the strength to do so. So the more you practice doing that type of thing, the more you learn that you're capable of doing it. And the more you learn that you're going to survive those difficult moments and that you have power, and it makes you feel more empowered in yourself, and it makes it easier to continue doing that in the future and remaining authentic to yourself. But it is very, 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 very hard to do in the beginning, and you need to practice it. But practicing it requires committing to it and just doing it even when it causes discomfort, because it will cause discomfort. You cannot change who you are as a person and go through a massive spiritual awakening while maintaining comfort. You're going to be uncomfortable, but discomfort isn't always a bad thing. It's also the important thing to note is that that discomfort largely is stemming from you going outside of trained and conditioned behaviors that are not actually who you are. And starting to find who you are, and it feels uncomfortable and it feels foreign because you've been depriving yourself of those parts of yourself and you've been shutting them down and suppressing them. So when you stop suppressing them, it's going to be uncomfortable, because also people who have grown to know the suppressed version of yourself, when you start to come out of that shell and be more honest about who you are, they're going to think that it's not you because they don't know what your unmasked self looks like because you've been perpetually masking. And then when you take that mask off, they're like, who is this person? And people who have never actually been there for who you are might leave, just to be honest. They might leave. People who liked the fake version of yourself and don't actually like who you are as a person are very likely to leave and no longer be in your life. But are those the people you want in your life? You know, like the real friends, the real ones who are here to be with you through all of the new versions of yourself throughout life, because there's going to be many of them. You're going to keep changing as you grow and age, and there's going to be many different versions of yourself that these people are going to meet and love. And the real ones will stick around for all of those versions of you. So why hold out and why stagnate your own growth for the people who only like the fake versions of you, who only like the versions of yourself that enable their toxic behavior and who are essentially about people pleasing people like themselves to the detriment of your own well-being? Why want those people around? Because sure, you might have developed friendships with them over time, but it's like a watered down kind of fake friendship where they're actually friends with a fake version of yourself, where their friendship is reliant on you masking and hiding parts of yourself to be friends with them. And it's not very fun. So anyways, during this process, I've lost friends. And a lot of it has stemmed from when I've stopped people pleasing and when I've told people like, hey, that's not okay, when they do something that's offensive to me or other people, or that's toxic or that's harmful to friends or that lacks empathy. And I've started calling those things out because I've decided I'm no longer going to enable and stand for this type of behavior because it makes me uncomfortable and it's not fair and it's not nice. I've lost friends for having the audacity to say things like, hey, like, even if we're going to go out and drink and party, like, we have to care enough about our friends not to leave them shit ass drunk in a position where they could choke on their own vomit and no one cares enough about them to actually watch them because they'd ruin their night. I actually got kicked out of a friend group for literally saying just that. And it sucked and it was sad. And I was like, wow, I thought these people liked me more than that. And I thought that we were real friends. But upon doing that, I realized, no, they like what they get to do in the crowd. They like being able to party and do these things. They don't actually like the actual people, because if they actually did like the actual people, they wouldn't put them at risk of getting alcohol poisoning and dying and just fuck off and go do whatever they want. They wouldn't do that. And if they actually did like these people, they would have deeper connections and relationships that go far beyond just partying together and drinking and doing things that are fun in the moment. They'd actually get to know their friends. And what I noticed the more I started to change is that a lot of my friends didn't actually know me. None of them asked about how I was doing when I was going through a hard time. And a lot of them knew that, like, my family was going through a hard time, but they didn't care because it would harsh their mellow and it would ruin their fun time at these parties. They didn't want to talk about any of the real shit. They didn't actually want to get to know each other. It was all about what was fun and lighthearted and very surface level and shallow. So most of them didn't actually really know each other, and they didn't care to. They didn't want to get to know their friends who are struggling with trauma. They didn't want to talk to them about those parts of themselves. They didn't want to offer support for them if it meant taking them out of these lighthearted, shallow moments and having to engage with realism. And even outside of friends, like, I've dated people like that too. They didn't want to deal with the hard stuff. They don't want to be there to support you when you're having a hard time. They don't want to have to be there by your side to be there for you during difficult situations if it means, like, oh, like, maybe you have to skip going out with your friends on one Friday night like you always fucking do, and it's not the end of the world. No, they had such intense FOMO that the problem became the person who was struggling with trauma, rather than the problem being them having such intense FOMO and such a desire to do these stupid materialistic things on such a repeated basis that they're willing to abandon people they claim to love in the process. And as I started to notice all these things, it became very eye-opening to me. And honestly, one of the final nails in the coffin for, like, having this complete spiritual awakening was, like, my last relationship, which I've talked about enough times that I'm not really going to go into full detail. But it ended badly enough, and I was gaslit badly enough at the end that I kind of had a moment where I was like, holy shit, this is fucked up. I was like, why am I in relationships when, like, sure, there's some happy moments, but the moments where they utterly devastate me, break my heart, and really display how little they actually care about me are so prevalent and pervasive and all-encompassing that it sours every single good moment we ever had, because those good moments were reliant on me appeasing them in a way that they could offer me those good moments. As soon as I stopped doing what they wanted, and as soon as I stopped people pleasing, or as soon as stuff got even the least bit hard, they would abandon me. And I was like, why am I doing this? Because in order to have these people treat me well and keep and like have this relationship feel happy, like I can never call them out on toxic behavior. I can never tell them when they've hurt my feelings. I can never do any of these things. Like, why the fuck am I with them? I'd be happier by myself. And after that relationship, I was like, shit, I am happier by myself. There's no man around to fuck up my day right now. You know, like I can go about living my life and enjoying things without worrying about some dickhead named Kyle coming along to fuck up my day by gaslighting the shit out of me when he decides to be an asshole and I call him out on it. And then suddenly I'm the problem because I'm calling out his behavior at face value and asking him to elevate to my level or fuck off. And then I'm the bad guy. I'm the bitch. I'm the uptight girlfriend. I'm all of these things. And yeah, I finally had enough after that. And I was like, I can have way more fun by myself. I enjoy hanging out with my dogs. I enjoy hanging out with my horses. I enjoy hanging out with my friends when I get to see them. But even when I don't, like, I enjoy hanging out by myself. And I've also taken the snippers and cut the dead ends of a lot of friends who were not giving me anything and who, like some of these exes, in order to actually maintain that friendship and not have it be constantly tumultuous, I had to never call them out on stuff that they did that was toxic. I couldn't say when they were being selfish or when they did something that was not cool or that offended me, or when they were saying really bigoted things. I couldn't say any of those things because those people were not looking to grow. So I had to leave them behind and cut the dead ends because I want to grow. I don't want to put my energy into dead ends that are just festering and spreading disease amongst my life in a figurative sense. So in cutting them, it allowed for me to grow more. And also, like, even on my own socials, cutting the dead ends is just being more quick to block people who are being fucking annoying and who are saying really out of pocket shit and pissing me off and just making my day worse. I don't need to give them my energy. They can go be annoying somewhere else. They're not entitled to my time. They're not entitled to my page. And it's not about creating an echo chamber, because I do think different opinions are important. And I allow for different opinions amongst my friends, amongst my partners, amongst people on my online platforms. But if they're putting their differing opinions out there by insulting my intelligence, degrading me as a person, and being like a racist, homophobic, transphobic piece of shit, then they don't deserve to have an opinion. I don't need to offer people a platform for being toxic people who at their core can only share their opinion by degrading the humanity of someone else. And that was part of my spiritual awakening. It's just finally hitting the point where I'm like, I've had enough. Fuck this. I've had enough with these people who are literally draining the life out of me and making me less healthy physically and emotionally because they are just such a fucking burden, because I have to sell out parts of myself in order to keep them around. And I'm tired of that. I would rather be alone in my life with my animals and with the people who actually deserve my time and who actually reciprocate and who actually see me and love me as a person. I'd rather be alone than getting some watered down version of platonic or romantic love that is contingent on me selling out aspects of myself, hiding parts of myself, and enabling parts of them that I think are toxic and damaging to the relationship. Because also, like, for me, with my friends and any partners that I have ever had, I don't want to be causing them harm. If I'm doing something that's making them feel shitty and that is making them feel not seen and not heard, I care about that. And I want to know. And if they tell me that, instead of getting fucking defensive and making them out to be the problem, I do my best to listen and then change to rise to the occasion and be the type of person they need to have, because I love them and I don't want to let down someone I love. And I don't want our relationship to be contingent on them having to feel unheard, unseen, and otherwise shitty about being part of that relationship in order to appease me. And that's the way it should be. That's the way healthy relationships are, is that you can call each other out on shit. You can tell each other when they're being toxic and you both learn and grow from it. Like, in my opinion, someone actually isn't really a real friend if they're not going to call you out on your shitty behavior, because that's how you grow. Friends should be invested in the growth of one another. They should be invested in helping each other become better people. And if they're not, then they're not really your friend, because being a friend during all the easy times and just like only being around when someone's being good and never having to call them out on the hard things or do the hard conversations. That's the easiest thing to do. But the real deal good friends are the ones who call you out on your shit and who you can call out on their shit without it damaging the friendship. And even if you need a break from each other, and even if the conversations don't always go perfectly, you can always come back together and actually have these discussions and have it be a safe place for there to be discourse and disagreement and for you to be like, hey, your behavior here is bothering me without it putting at risk your connection with each other. And as I have started to become more critical of who I have chosen to put my time into, I have recognized that a lot of the relationships that I've had over the years are reliant on me never challenging them and never calling out shitty behavior and never having difficult discussions. Because if I do, they effectively show me that that puts our connection at risk and that our connection is reliant on a certain level of enablement in order for them to stick around. And that is pretty fucked up. But then on the flip side, anytime I did something that bothered them, even if what bothered them was literally me being like, hey, you hurt my feelings, that was a problem. That was a problem. Like, they would make it out to be such a big issue where I had to alter my behavior and rise to the occasion for them, but it was never reciprocated on my regard. And a lot of the times the problems that they had come up would be when I would push back against their behavior, and then that was a problem. So I learned and I cut ties with people accordingly, and I realized that there were certain things that I just wasn't going to put up with anymore. And then that has really started to change my life. And like, this has started to speed up over like the winter into spring. And now like this summer and this spring, I think are going to be like huge moving forward sectors of my life, because starting to become more intentional about developing the life I want and like manifesting the life I want. I'm doing a lot more self-care stuff, like journaling, reaching out to friends, talking to friends, joining different types of activities and hobbies so that I'm spending my time doing stuff that's also away from work. Like, I'm doing kickboxing now, which is good for cross training. I'm going and doing circle time with different like women and being able to talk about what we're going through in life and just having more connections that way so that I'm not having to handle any hardships on my own. I started to get way more involved and invested in astrology and like spirituality, which people can be like, that's fucking bullshit. But it's like, you know, like if I ran up to like anyone in a religious group and was like, that's fucking bullshit, fuck you, completely unsolicited, it would be a problem. And yet people like doing that with like more fringe types of spirituality, like people who are super into astrology because they think it's stupid, even though there actually is scientific merit to it. Just saying, there's more scientific merit and evidence of the validity of it than there is in a lot of mainstream religions. So again, just saying, like we already know the moon controls the tides and stuff. And then people are like, oh, you're so stupid for saying the moon changes people's behavior despite all the stuff showing that full moon actually does. Anyway, so I've started to delve more into that, and people can think it's full of shit, and I don't care. Think I'm full of shit. Just don't fucking tell me, because it makes me happy and it's been helping my mental health and it's harmless. And I found that to be really fun. And I've gotten really into like learning more about like witchy stuff and like just the entire, like I view it as more like nature-minded nature-minded spirituality, where you're connecting the outer world with your inner world and just learning more about the interconnectivity of everything. Because I do think for me, I don't really buy into any organized religion, but I think that like spirituality and nature and people are so interconnected that if they're like, was what I would view as a god, it would be Mother Nature, because she governs everything and everything around us. And despite the fact that we're damaging nature in the world right now, she's still there and she's still the overpowering entity of the world. Like, nature is scary. We would succumb to nature right quick, and she overpowers all of us, and we're utterly reliant on her no matter how much we screw things up. So that's kind of where I've fallen into in terms of like believing in the bigger picture. I don't necessarily believe in like a god or anything like that, but I do believe in the interconnectivity of everything. I believe in the energy. I believe in the reliance that we have on the natural world and how everything at its core is interconnected, no matter how much people try to screw with that. And that's really kind of led to a massive spiritual awakening and just starting to appreciate nature more in ways that I hadn't before. Spending more time outside, going on more hikes and walks, and just finding ways to connect with the natural world more than what I was able to do in the past, and just becoming more observant and aware of my surroundings, and just also noticing the life in everything. Because like, trees communicate with each other. There's so much interconnectivity in the forest, and they create a very synchronistic, connected lifestyle. And the more I've learned about that, like even just from a scientific standpoint, the more fascinated I've become about just like the degree of communication that occurs within living entities that we don't really view as living in the way that we should. Like people will happily cut down trees for every little thing. And this isn't to say that we shouldn't use wood as a material, but like trees are alive and we don't see them as alive as like what we would see a human or another animal, because they have a different means of communicating and interacting with the environment. So I've just kind of started to learn more about that and be more appreciative about like the degree of life that is around us, and just be more conscious of like how much energy there is in the environment and how aware and alive all aspects of the world are at all points. And what that's really led me to is that like now I know that I do really want to like I already knew this, but I really want to move out into nature and have like my own property and have access to like really quiet, just like natural wilderness that I can just go and exist in. Because when I go and I screw off to like the mountains and go to places that are not really human populated and dominated, I feel at peace. I love being around the big old growth forest. I love being in the mountains, and I love getting to go to places that aren't crawling with people. Because a lot of the places where I live now that you can go to for parks and whatnot, there's always lots of people there, generally speaking. But I like just being out in nature and just like giving my soul to nature and just being out where it's quiet, because that's where my brain goes quiet. That's where I feel the most at peace. And the more I've done it, the more I've realized it. And now for a more fringe discussion that some people are going to be like, oh my God, what the heck? That is so bad. Before we get into this, I just want to say, in Vancouver, British Columbia, it is perfectly legal to buy magic mushrooms for medicinal purposes. So I do that. Full disclosure, if you have a problem with that and it's not legal where you are, all the power to you to not do them yourselves. But if you have a problem with me using them and you no longer want to follow me, then you should probably unfollow me, because I've found a lot of benefit in them. And also, if you look up the psychology studies on psychedelic use for spiritual awakenings and also just improving mental health, there's actually a lot there. Not to mention Gabor Maté all the time, but as you can tell, I'm a freaking huge fan of him. He's done a fair number of studies on the use of psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms that causes people to have psychedelic experiences. And he's also done trials on ayahuasca and has gone to ayahuasca retreats himself. And ayahuasca is like way more powerful than like psilocybin. Like I've never done it, but massive freaking spiritual awakenings and like huge trips that you have. But he's found that it has been super beneficial for people who are victims of trauma and like helping them work through that trauma. I would never do something like that unless I was going to like an indigenous shaman and getting them to like help me through the entire process. I would not want to do that myself. I would not want to do it with other like people that aren't like actually well-versed in the spiritual aspect of that. But that's what he did. He went to like South America somewhere and did an ayahuasca retreat. And then he also brought it back here and did some studies on it before the Canadian government shut him down. And yeah, there's a lot of benefit to it. So there actually is scientific merit to the benefit of it. Like, I'm not telling people to do it. I'm just saying that if you look up the studies on it, there are like methods of helping people work through trauma and mental health issues that aren't just like mainstream big pharma prescription type help. And they actually have validity and they actually have value. And psilocybin is one of those things. There's also been studies on LSD and how it has helped people work through trauma. And I mean, it's within reason. Like, you have to be in the right state of mind when you're doing it. I have had, and I haven't talked to this online, so I'm going to just like share, because whatever. I've had a bad acid trip before, the only time I ever did acid. And it was not because of the acid that I had a bad trip. It was because I got bullied by these 18-year-old, like, just freshly graduated children. Like, the grad years from during COVID, like, they all came to, like, the rural area that I did acid with some friends. And, like, we were the only one there until these fuckers showed up. And they all just, like, pulled in. And, like literally, like, so many trucks. All these kids and their parents lifted trucks just driving into like the rural Kootenai Mountains of British Columbia outside of Cranbrook, like hundreds of them. The best reference that I can use to paint a picture of what this was like is they fucking built this like Burning Man style fire, and there's just like hundreds of them. They were everywhere, and they were being so loud, and they were also like little shits who were like trying to fight us. Like not the girls, but like the boys were trying to fight the guys that we were for no reason. Like we were minding our own fucking business, having our own fire, and they just like kept coming over and they were trying to fight us. I had just gotten my truck at this point, and they were like threatening to slash my tires and shit. And it was a bad time. And then also like they were being really loud and disruptive, and like my dog was getting massive anxiety from it. And I can already like feel the energy of like anxiety like around the people and animals around me, like when I'm sober. But when I was on acid, it was like to an insane extent. So I started having like a panic attack because I was so worried about my dog, and I knew that she was freaking out, that I was freaking out, and it wasn't a good time. But that was an environmental issue rather than an issue of the drug, but the drug just brought that out. Prior to all those shitheads showing up and trying to ruin my day, it was great because I was just like floating on a lake in a tube in the sun, and there was painted turtles swimming from underneath of me, and it was just so beautiful. And I was like, wow, like the world is so beautiful and amazing. And then children came and threatened to slash my tires, and I was like, well, fuck. So I haven't done that since then. I probably would again, if I'm being honest. But like, I've had way better luck on mushrooms because it's like less of a commitment. Like acid, you're fucking buckling in for like a 12-hour trip, whereas shrooms is like six. And so I've had some really nice experiences on shrooms. And honestly, as someone with ADHD, what I've found that is the most beneficial about doing these types of psychedelic drugs is that it takes you and puts you directly in the moment. Like if you're someone whose brain tends to wander and think about a lot of different things, like it inserts you directly in the moment, and you become hyper aware of everything around you and like the interconnectivity of everything. And like being out in nature is really beautiful. Like I would never do these things in a city because it would be way too overstimulating for me, and I already don't like cities in general typically. So always in nature, but it just inserts you directly in nature, and it's just like a very spiritual and lovely experience, and you get put in the moment in a way like I'm in my most like meditative state ever that I've ever been in when I'm doing these types of drugs. And like it also helps me go into that state afterwards. So like after doing it, it's like I'm more observant and aware of nature, and it just changes the way I feel about things. And it just opens your mind to like make you think a little bit differently. And I found that that has really kind of helped me make peace with a lot of different aspects of my life, and also processing trauma and things and stuff that used to bother me. Like another example is that like when I was on acid, that's like one of the only times in my life that I've not been afraid of bugs, because I was just laying in the grass and I could see all of these ants just walking through the grass, and I started to just be overtaken by the realization that these ants like have their own civilization. They're living their own completely separate life that like none of us even think of typically. And that they like, yeah, that they're moving through the environment, and like the grass blades are like their skyscrapers and like their city, and they all live in like this community. And yeah, like, and I had like ants crawling on me on my back, and I was like not afraid of them, but usually that stuff would freak me the fuck out because I hate the feeling of bugs crawling on me. So it actually made me less afraid of bugs. And then like I've done shrooms the most. So more recently, like I did it just this past weekend when I went on a hike, and it was honestly fucking unreal. Like I was like looking at all the trees and all the patterns in the bark, and it made me feel really connected with like the ancestors of the past, and just like thinking about how all the energy, like energy is neither created nor destroyed. So like the energy of people who we've lost is probably always around us in the air. I could listen and feel like the trees breeze like whispering to me, and I was way more in tune with the environment than what I might be when I'm like busy and thinking about work and stuff. And I was just frolicking in the woods and looking at all the trees and thinking about how beautiful the area of the world I live in is, and getting to go on an adventure. And it was really, really special. And I got to like, I just, you notice so much more stuff. Like there, like the world becomes art, which it always is, but we get so just like disconnected from it. We get so distracted by other things that we forget how beautiful our natural world is, and how it's just like living and breathing art, and just like how interconnected everything is, and how many things are going on. Like the forest is always speaking to you. And I don't mean that in like I'm a tripping ball sense and it's literally saying shit to me. No, the forest is always communicating, and it's always alive. Like even when I'm completely not on any drugs and I'm walking through the forest, I always feel like I'm being watched, because I am. be it by the trees or birds or coyotes or bears or cougars or whatever. Like, you're always being watched by something. There's always something there. There's always something around. We are never alone in that natural environment. And anyways, that was a really potent experience that I've had that has kind of just further unpacked like the direction that I want to head in with my life. And I'm going to make way more of an effort to go and walk more in nature and to go on more hikes and to do more road trips and to just explore the world more, especially within my province and within the Pacific Northwest, like closer by to me, like even if I cross the border and go into Washington and Oregon, because it makes me happy. And I'm going to prioritize that more because that stuff is important. And it's something that I haven't done enough. I want to do more of that and just explore the world and put myself out in nature and just do these things, whether it's by myself or with other people. Like, I'll do it alone now. And that's not something I would have probably done in the past, is going alone and doing stuff like that. But it's something that I intend to do this year and just get more independent and just make more opportunities for myself to go out and enjoy the world and just like have a good time and really appreciate the natural beauty of the area that I live in, because it is so beautiful in the Pacific Northwest. And like, in having all these experiences, again, like I already really knew that I loved British Columbia and that it was like the place for me, but like I've kind of further just been like, yeah, like I need to stay in the Pacific Northwest or close to it and like be near the mountains and the forest, because it is like, it's my place. It's where I feel I belong. It's where I'm super happy. I love the environment here. And as much as I complain about like the rain and stuff, like I do really, really, really love it here. And so long term, my goal and my drive is going to be to find somewhere in BC that I can afford to live and just get to enjoy being out in the mountains and the forests and just hopefully live somewhere near Crown Land where I can just really have access to lots of wilderness to go hiking on and exploring and just really enjoy my life and be immersed in nature and build the best type of living situation possible for my horses and other animals and make it like a little bit of a sanctuary. And I'm also completely content with the idea of, even if I had to do that alone and I never got into a long-term relationship or anything, like I can live with it, because like my animals are the most important thing to me. And what I've also learned is that it's like my animals have been there for all these years and they've been a constant that I've always had. Lots of people have come in and out of my life over the years, but like my animals have earned the right to be there constantly. Like Phoebe sleeps in my bed with me. Phoebe's my dog. And I've thought about it and I'm like, you know, like she's earned. And like I've had people I've dated in the past that don't want her sleeping in the bed, but I'm like, you know what? No. And not anymore. If a guy says that, I'm like, okay, fuck you. You can go sleep in the dog bed. She's earned this spot. You haven't. You're still earning your role in my life. And she has more than earned her spot. You have not. So if you're going to try to kick her out when she has done more for me than you have and probably ever will, I'll just pull out a cot or a dog bed for them and be like, okay, if you don't want to share the benefit, that's totally fine. Sleep on this dog bed. And I'm dead ass going to do that if it comes down to that. Because it's like, no, the audacity. You can't tell me what to do with my life and my dog. And especially when it's my bed, like if it's their house, I understand that not everyone wants dogs on furniture. Still don't love that. Would be a little bit of a red flag for me long term with what I want relationship wise, because like dogs' world, their worlds are already small enough. And same with cats. And it's like, I don't really like to make them smaller. So like they're allowed to use the house like people would. So yeah, but I've had like a lot of shifts in the way of thinking, and even choosing to share about these trips with you guys is like a shift that I've had. It's something that I've largely kept to myself, because I know that people judge for stuff like that, but it's honestly like ultimately like I don't care. I know I'm a responsible person and I know how to take care of myself, and I also know that like I can make my own choices and other people can make their own choices. They don't have to like every choice I make, but it's also not their job to try to dictate what I can do based off of their own personal beliefs with what's okay. They get to choose the people they surround themselves with, and if anyone had a problem with like what I choose to do in my free time, they don't have to hang out with me. I don't have to be the type of person that they need to surround themselves with. And the other thing is, like, I would never force anyone to do these types of things with me if they were uncomfortable with it. It's something you have to really want to do. And it's something that, like, I haven't done, honestly, that many times. Like, I've not done psychedelics that often. And usually it's, like, really intermittently and spaced out based off of, like, what feels right. More so in, like, the nice weather in the winter, it would kind of suck. Especially just for being outside because you get cold. But yeah, I just do what feels right, and I've learned a lot from it, and it's made me feel way more comfortable with myself and kind of helped me solidify what's important to me and what's important in life. And it's also helped me kind of process trauma that when I'm immersed in my everyday life and feel like I'm busy with whatever is going on that I can't do. I can't process it in the same way. It gives me the time and space to just think about some things that I've kind of buried and come to terms with them and come to terms with the amount of loss that I've had and the amount of trauma that I've had throughout my childhood. And it's been really beneficial for that. So that's been an aspect to my spiritual awakening that has been helpful. It hasn't been like the primary factor that has resulted in the change of like who I am as a person. There's been like, it's been a lot of lessons that I've learned from people. And I think the last thing that I'll go into is that because of the lessons that I've been taught, like, it's made me believe a lot more in, like, the synchronicity of the universe and, like, being offered lessons that will repeat until you learn them. Because, like, the universe has been like, you fucking dumbass bitch. I keep sending you narcissists and you just keep falling for it every time. Like, when are you going to learn? And then, like, she would just keep sending them to me because I wasn't learning anything. And now I think I finally dealt with, like, the final boss of narcissism, where if I did get sent another one, I would be able to curve them easier and I would see right through it. And, like, I'm less prioritizing being in a relationship because I'm not trying to fill a void in myself by finding someone else to do it for me. And I'm living for myself more. So I think I've finally learned. So, like, hopefully she's done sending that type of lesson because honestly, like, please, please spare me. But I believe that we get sent, like, we repeat lessons until we learn them. And that's kind of something that has made me realize that, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I've repeatedly engaged with because I've allowed it to happen and I haven't learned how to set boundaries and I haven't learned how to stop people pleasing until more recently. So I've been met with these same types of issues and lessons time and time again. And it's been with a lot of things. So, like, the more I've started to learn from them and alter the way that I approach the world, the less I've noticed that I'm being sent these same problems. So I do believe that to an extent that, like, we're here to learn and you'll repeat lessons until you've learned them. And then once you've learned them, you'll create like an energetic shift in your life that will result in new stuff being brought your way. So I'm kind of doubling down into like the law of attraction more and trying to manifest the types of stuff I want by changing my attitude and changing how I perceive the world. And I've noticed a lot of stuff changing. And then also, honestly, since getting into astrology, you can laugh at me, call me an astrology girly all you want, but the full moon eclipse brought me some pretty fucking cool shit. So like, you can't look me in the eye and tell me that it's just a coincidence when it keeps happening that way. Like, I've noticed that there's certain astrological events that have coincided with some of the biggest opportunities and biggest losses that I've had in my life. And yeah, so I've noticed that too. And I've just been noticing things more. I've been noticing patterns. I've been noticing synchronicities. I've been noticing what I'm attracting and what I'm deflecting away from me more. And I've just been becoming more observant and curious about my life and curious about the interconnectivity of stuff. And it's resulted in me achieving a higher state of peace and understanding of my life, regardless of whether or not people think my beliefs are full of shit. Because sure, fuck, they could be. And if they are, I'm still happy. You know, like, it's not hurting anyone. It's made me happier. It's helped me come to terms with certain things in my life. And it doesn't really matter to me whether or not it's like something that I'm just looking to create. Like, I'm just looking to connect to reality and looking for patterns that may or may not be there. It doesn't really matter to me because it's making me happier nonetheless. And that's really all that matters. So anyways, everyone has a different path to their spiritual awakening. Everyone has different paths to what makes them feel their most authentic and happiest self. Everyone has a different way of learning lessons in life and like how many times they need to repeat them before learning. Because if you're like me, apparently you just need to almost exclusively date narcissists for the entirety of your fucking life before you realize that you're being stupid. And some people need to learn the hard way more times than others. Like, hands up, girls. I learn the hard way all the time, apparently. Just me and my stupid little brain making excuses for shitty people. But hopefully I'm done doing that. I intend to be. I'm just going to say, yeah, I am done doing that. We're going to manifest the reality we want, people. And yeah, so everyone has a different path to finding what works for them. And everyone's path is different. And everyone's strengths and weaknesses are different, and what works and resonates for you, it might be different than me. Maybe we'll have some similarities, maybe we won't. I'm interested in learning like other people's journey through these same types of things and like what's helped you and whatnot, because like I do think that the self-care component is a huge one, and self-care looks different for everyone. Like, getting hobbies that resonate with you and that feel good is different for everyone. Some people might want to do like knitting or crocheting or going to the gym or like swimming, etc. Other people might want to do other things. For me, it's been going for more hikes, getting outside more, spending more time with my horses and prioritizing more time with my horses. Starting to do audiobooks because right now, like reading was just too hard for me. And audiobooks allowed me to go out and do things that I needed to do, like driving or working with the horses and still being able to listen to those things and have fun with them. And that was kind of like a happy medium. I am going to try to get into reading before bed now because I have some books out and that's like the next habit that I want to check off my list. And also just reducing my screen time on my phone and whatnot, which is also why the hiking is good because it puts me way out into the wilderness where I generally don't usually have service and stuff. And so there's a lot of benefits to that and just doing more things like that. And I like thrifting and I've gotten more freedom in choosing outfits that I would be less typical to buy if they were brand new and I was paying lots of money for them. So it's allowed me to try new things and really figure out what works for me and like what I like to wear and what my style is and what makes me feel good about myself. So yeah, I've discovered all of these little things to just find my most authentic self and do more self-care and find what makes me happy. And it's a never-ending process because it's never going to change. Like, I mean, it's never-ending changes. Like, I'm always going to be finding new aspects of myself and I'm also going to be letting go of aspects that I've outgrown. And like, now there might be things that I do now that I really invest in that feel really good now that I might grow out of later in life. So you never know. You're always going to be meeting new versions of yourself and welcoming those new versions and saying goodbye to old versions. And that's perfectly okay. So for anyone who's feeling a little lost right now, you can't find yourself before you get lost. You know, you have to be lost for a while and you might not even realize how long you've been lost for. But then once you do have that realization and you actually effectively feel lost, that allows you to be found because you know you're lost. If you don't think you're lost and you're not aware that you're lost and you're still going about the motions thinking that you're on the right path without even realizing that you're going drastically off course, you can never find that right path without finding out that you're on the wrong path first and going through that situation where you feel abundantly lost and unsure of where life is headed. So as much as it sucks to feel lost and confused about what's next, it is part of the process of discovering where you're meant to be. And it's not a bad thing. So if you feel lost right now, take that as actually like a blessing that you're going to discover where you're meant to be and what feels good and where the most authentic life path for you to head actually is. You have to be lost first before you can be found. So embrace the feeling of not knowing and use that freedom to figure out where the right paths to go are, because trying new things is not a bad thing. And like for me, letting go of like expectation and like hard timelines and just like obsessing over when things will happen has been super freeing, and it's led to things happening faster actually, because I'm not obsessing over how the path to get there is. I just go like, I want this, I'm gonna get this, it will happen, and I don't know how it's gonna happen yet, but it's going to. And that has brought me a lot more freedom and flexibility, and it's also made me feel like less bad about not necessarily getting to where I want to go in the way that I think I do. Because I've realized over the years, like there's been a lot of things that I've wanted and I've not been sure how I'm going to get there, but I have. And it's happened and it's unfolded in ways that I wouldn't have predicted. So I'm open to like things happening however they should. And there's still things that I want desperately and that I want like as soon as possible, but I'm kind of letting go and just being like, okay, universe, hit me up, take me the direction I'm supposed to go. Just like let things unfold how they're supposed to and just believing that it will. And that has brought me a lot more peace, and it has brought me also more opportunities in the process. I have some really cool things in the works. Can't share them right now. We'll share them as soon as I can. I'm really, really excited. I just got a huge opportunity over the last week, and I'm so, so excited to share it with you guys once I'm able to, and I'll keep you all posted. But all the best to people who are at a point in their life where they feel lost. But it's normal to feel lost, especially as you're growing up and figuring things out, and you will get found. You will. Just have belief in yourself to be found, and don't be afraid to try new things and to try out new versions of yourself that you're trying on different pairs of shoes until you find the one that fits perfect. And when you outgrow that shoe, welcome getting a new one. So I hope that this was cathartic for some people. If it wasn't, it's still cathartic for me to talk about. And I like making these podcasts because they're freeing and fun for me and just enjoyable for me to share the process. And it's just a bonus if people like them. And I always like hearing what resonates with people and what doesn't. And Yeah, it's special. And I could talk more about some of this stuff if people are interested in more specifics and going into more detail on some of these experiences that I've had. I'm happy to. So feel free to like always request different types of podcasts and topics, because I don't really mind not having them always be super horsey or not having to be horsey at all. Because like right now, again, it's like I'm in a do whatever I want era. I'm going to just do what feels good and what feels right to me. And I'm going to produce the content that my heart feels good about. And whether or not people want to listen to it and whether or not it speaks to them is up to them. And if it doesn't, they can take what they like and they can leave what they don't. And it's really that easy. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Making Milestones podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. And if you're going through a hard time right now, just know that you'll find yourself and it'll pass eventually. And that people are with you, that like even though I don't know most of you specifically, that like my thoughts are with you, and that I don't want anyone to be having like a hard time and anyone to be struggling. So thank you all for listening, and I hope that you have a great rest of the week, and that if you're struggling right now, that things ease up for you soon, and that you can find some joy and happiness in the little things of life. And that's also what I'd recommend. If you're going through a really dark time, look for the glimmers amongst your day-to-day life. It could be something as simple as a flower outside your window blooming. Like the other day, one of the crocuses bloomed, and there was a bee getting pollen and nectar from it. And I walked by and I got to see it, and I'm like, wow, that is so colorful and beautiful. Nature makes the most beauty, and people can't even do like the faintest replica of how stunning this is. Or it'll be like going outside at the perfect sunset, or going outside when the moon is full and beautiful, and just getting to see it and going, wow, that is absolutely stunning. And it can be something as simple as that, or it can be as something as simple as like getting the perfect meal made and having the greatest snack, or having your dog welcome you in such a sweet way. Like just the little things. Learn how to enjoy the little things amongst all the chaos, and hold on to those, and just enjoy that process without feeling so fixated on needing these big changes to happen. Because the more little things you notice and the more happiness you notice in the everyday life, the more you will start to realize how much beauty there is in life, even amongst the chaos. And you'll start to be able to pick out the beautiful things more the more you practice doing that. I thought it was ridiculous at first when people suggested that, and I thought it was like a little toxic positivity-esque, but it doesn't mean you can't recognize that things are still hard, that you're going through a hard time. It's just noticing things that do make you happy amongst those hardships, because there will always be something, no matter how big or small. So thank you for watching. Don't forget to check out the description of this podcast if you're interested in ways of supporting my content or where else you can find me online. And as always, thank you for listening and thank you for your support, and have a wonderful, beautiful week and rest of your life, and enjoy yourself. Have a great day, everybody.